Chema. So in the continuing series on Bhagavat Puran, today we are going to take a story, well-known story of course, of Matsya Avatar. I don't like to use the word fish incarnation, but that's the English translation. So we'll come to the sense of the story a little later. But just the outline of the story, there are two Matsya Avatars or fish incarnation of Sri Hari, Lord Vishnu. One of them is when Hayagriv, there are two versions of the story. One is Hayagriv has stolen the Vedas and it goes into the waters, and then as Matsya Avatar he comes and rescues. There is another version that he comes as Hayagriv, both kind of look alike. So that's not the story we are taking up today. We are taking up the story of Matsya Avatar, which is at the end of an age. So this is the age when we have entered the Chaturyogi. Chaturyogi is a cycle of creation. And just to orient ourselves, Chaturyogi is basically when the divine consciousness is working on these four layers. So what are these four layers? This is the soul. Satyuga is when directly there is the touch upon the soul. And Treta is when the touch is upon the mind. And Dwapar is when it's in the vital, the heroic age. And Kaliyuga is when the working is going on in the physical. And that's why Kaliyuga is the most difficult period. That's why it's known also Kaliyuga, Jogna, Japna, Jnana, Ek Adhar, Naam Gunya, Ram Gun Gana. Basically it's because Kaliyuga is the most difficult, because the most difficult part is being worked upon. So this is how the four yugas is the working of the divine consciousness on the four aspects. Satyuga is naturally the easiest because it's more of an awakening of the soul. And then we see in Treta, in Satyuga the divine comes as Yajna Purush in the heart. So there is an awakening in the heart. You don't need laws, you don't need codes, because human beings are spontaneously conscious of the divine will in the heart. Then when there is Treta, then he comes as the king. So we have Raja Ram, Raja Ramchandra ki jai. So he comes as the king. So king has to live the highest standards. And based on his highest standard, the society just follows. So that's why we see in Treta, the demand upon the king is extremely high. That's why we have the famous saying, Pran jaye parvachan na jaye, raghu kulrit sada chali aaye. Of course, Ikshvaku dynasty is another very, very fascinating dynasty, but I am resisting the temptation to go into the dynasty of Lord Rama, but it will be for later. Then comes Dwapar. Now, Dwapar, it's not based on king. There is a code, the dharma. People have to follow the code. So that's why we see that there is a debate in the assemblies. So what is the debate in the assembly? Whether Draupadi's marriage to five Pandavas is right or wrong. And it goes to what extent? There is a debate even whether Chirharan is right or wrong. It goes on to that extent, you know, that whether so much so that Karna would say, well, she is married to five persons, therefore it is justified. You can imagine, that's the Dharma Siglani. The essence of Dharma is lost, it becomes a code, codified. And Kaliyuga is when even that is taken away. So each one becomes his own free for all. And because it becomes free for all at the peak of Kaliyuga, it's an inconscient freedom, not the superconscient freedom. So we see in the peak of Kaliyuga, abnormal, that's how it is described, abnormal manifestations. 40 years back or 50 years back, I mean, some of us must have read it at that age. At least I had read it. See, it appeared very strange because it was said there will be men who will, you know, children, they will have green hairs, orange hairs. I used to say, this is too much. But now it is so evident. Nothing wrong about green or orange hair. The point is that all code and processes break down. So this free for all is a way in which you have to choose consciously whether one will be swallowed by the inconscient waters from which life has emerged, or he'll rise to the higher plane. So there is no code which is trying to manage you, but you have to manage your own life, to put it in modern language. And depending on how you choose, consciously choose, you are either taken up to the next level or the next Chaturyug, normally as it is called, though this is a very special Chaturyug. the seven Chaturyoga, it's a transition after which there is no pralaya. You know, that's what Sri Aurobindo and the mother says. If you read the lineage of Manus, all this will become very clear. But our subject is the previous Chaturyoga when there is pralaya. And if you read the description is like this, chaos which is going on, people are not bothered, they don't listen to the king, they don't listen to anybody. And they don't even know, okay, you listen to your own truth, but they don't know what is truth inside the heart. So people who take to a spiritual life are considered as mad. Even there is a description that King Satyavrata, who does penance means tapasya, he is living on water. So everybody says, our king has gone mad. Does anyone do this? And even some of the people come and even hit him with stones. That's how the story goes. So it's a state when of total anarchy in a way. And this anarchy is part of the plan. It's part of the process towards a greater order. So that's the state. And King Satyavrata, one day he is going to the river because he is drinking only water. He is living with water, on water. It's a tapasya he has undertaken. And then suddenly he sees a small little fish. And the fish says, suddenly the fish speaks. This we have discussed several times. Can animals speak? Well, they do speak. We should not say whether an animal speaks or not. We should say whether we are able to hear or understand not only animals, the stones, whether they speak or not. And there are so many interesting stories about it. Michelangelo, how he carved a beautiful image out of stone. And when he was asked that, how did you know that this beautiful image existed, idol existed? He says, I saw it there. Now, we have a tendency to pass on our inability to comprehend life, divine, ourselves, creation, onto saying it doesn't exist. So anyway, be it as it may, even as a pure story, it is very interesting. So there is the fish which says to the king, he suddenly takes water to drink and he finds this little fish. And seeing this little fish suddenly in the hand, he says he'll die. So it just puts it back into the river. So the fish starts speaking. He says, oh king, you have put me back into the river and I'm going to die here. I can't survive in this because there are many big fishes. I'm the smaller fish. So he says, okay, what do I do? She says, you take me, give me a place to stay. So he takes and puts in a little bowl, nice bowl in his palace. And as he starts moving away after putting the fish, he again, yes, oh king, oh king. So the king turns, says, sees the fish has grown. He says, what has happened? He says, this bowl is very small for me. So he picks up again, puts in a larger pool of water. And as he turns, suddenly sees the fish is growing to the size of the pool. So he says, now what to do? So he takes help and puts it into a back into a river. And it as soon as he turns, he sees again the fish has grown bigger. So she says, you have to protect me, you are the king. You have to do something about me. I will be eaten up by all these sharks and whales and God knows what. So he says, what to do? Again he tries methods and puts the fish back into the ocean. Again the fish says, you have brought me back here. Okay, I have grown up, but all these creatures. So now the king says, you are not an ordinary fish. In 24 hours you have grown so much. You are not an ordinary fish. Tell me about who you are. It seems to me that you are none else but the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, Narayan, Hari. By so many names is he known. And so he says, you tell me what really is your purpose. Kim Priyojanam. So he says, tell me about that. So then the fish reveals that you have guessed it right. I am, of course, Lord Hari. And I have come only to announce you that 7 days from now, the world is going to collapse. The waters will increase. Everything will drown. And I need you to make a big boat in which all kinds of, not all kinds of creatures. If you go literally, he says, Rishi, Muni, those who are seekers and some herbs, some nice, things which are useful even at a plant level. You take this, keep it ready. After 7 days, I will come again and take the boat, take it across the waters. Now he says, okay, so he does all that. He calls Rishi Muni, they are ready. His kingdom people say he is a crazy fellow, mad fellow. He must be reading all kinds of crazy things. He's gone mad. That's what they tell him. Because they are enjoying life in their own way. You know, they are all living in US and Germany and God knows. What is this story? Fish is coming. All nonsense. Anyways, he does his work. And he is the king. It will be very surprising, interesting to know. He is the king of Dravida Desh. That's how it's described. And Dravid means a land surrounded on three sides by water. That's all it means. It never meant South India and North India divide. It never meant that. It's a land surrounded on three sides. It comes from the root Drava. Drava, Dravya. It's water, liquid. So it's surrounded on three sides by water. So this king Satyavrat, even the name is very interesting. He is steadfast on truth. He is living in Dravida Desh, modern Tamil Nadu. I fancy Pondicherry. I have, you know, read. Whenever I read this story, I said it's full circle. It's not described, so I can take the poetic liberty. It's Pondicherry. So he says, okay. So he makes the boat and the river around near which he is staying, incidentally, that is also described. So, but that river described is Vaigai. Vaigai is one of the, if I am not mistaken, branch of Kaveri. It's independent river. Near Madurai. So that's how Madurai becomes a very special spot. So that's the river. So then after 7 days, it rains. Suddenly after 7 days, it starts raining. And it rains so much that the water comes to swell. And everything is drowning. By then the boat is ready. And now he is waiting for the next orders. And the Lord Vishnu comes as the, now comes the full effulgent Matsavtar. So he comes and he says, come. It's very described as million of some miles long and things like that. It is a horn to which Vasuki becomes the rope through which, you know, it is tied. And all of them sit in the ship and they are carried across the flood, the deluge. And a new creation starts. But because this man, this wonderful king, pious king, tapasvi king, Satyavrat, he is now, because he has had faith and he is steadfast in truth, he is given the charge of the next Chaturyuga. So he becomes the Manu, is presently active. Of course, he is now giving way to the next level, which is Shraddhadev Manu. And it's very interesting why this name. So because it's described in that kingdom, while most of the people are not bothered, not interested, they don't believe. He has faith that, well, who will listen to a fish? Well, she has told me it must be right. So when he sits in that ship, then there is a very nice dialogue. He asks that, what is all this? I can't understand. So he appears as the Supreme Brahman in his own heart. And he starts revealing to him all the secrets of creation. So he starts gaining inner knowledge basically. And as he gains inner knowledge, they go slowly across. And finally, of course, the boat lands. And a new creation begins. To start with, it has nothing to do with the movie Mohenjo-daro, I must say. Because Mohenjo-daro is like going from one place to another. Now, why I am saying that, though it is from the southern state to here, but it's not just about that. It's very interesting because the waters fill the three worlds. That's how it's described. Literal description is, it fills the Bhulok, Bhuvarlok, Swarlok, even the gods. So it's not just a ordinary pralaya, it is what is called as Mahapralaya. So even up to the gods, and that's what we see, that suddenly when a time scale changes, even the gods change. The way we reconnect with the gods, relate with the gods, even the names, we see how Egyptian gods have changed completely. So gods also change. So, of course, that's a different subject. So, this is the whole story. Read with faith, it is said, it helps tremendously. Now, that we'll come to a little later, why it helps. Just reading all these stories helps. Well, very simply, when one is endowed with faith, one takes it that, well, there is a divine intervention, there is a divine working in creation, we are not left alone. And it awakens this faith that even if everything is drowning or being destroyed around you, still, if you have faith in the divine, he will figure out, he will find a way. That reminds me of a little letter of Dilip Kumar Roy to Sri Aurobindo. It's a very funny letter. He says, "Sir, there was an ass who was drowning in the flood, and then he saw a yogi sitting there, and he started saying that, 'I am drowning. What to do? All of us will drown.' So yogi says, 'Right now you are drowning. you take care. You are drowning. Not all will drown because you are drowning. Therefore, you think the whole world is in pralaya.' So it's a very illustrative story, and Shobhinda gives a very, very humorous reply to Dilip Kumar Roy about your the asinine logic. So, because if we are drowning, we think the whole world is drowning. So there are people who will say, 'Oh, this world is being destroyed.' Yeah, I mean, but there are people who are being rescued. They're sitting on the boat. What is this boat? Now we come to the symbol. So the boat, mother describes at two places about this boat. Now she's not talking about this story, but you can see the parallel. She describes as the supramental boat in an experience of 3rd February 1957, where people are being taken and they are being tested. Who is ready for the new creation? And they are taken up. And there are others who are being sent back for getting ready. It's a process. It's not a one life phenomenon necessarily. There is a time which the divine gives when all this is taking place. 7 days, maybe 70 years or 100 years. That's a different... It's 7 days is always a way of saying. 7 days is completing a cycle, a week. So there is a period of time in which things are happening when the boat is being prepared, people are being chosen who are going to sit in the boat, who are going to cross over. This is what is happening right now. And who will finally arrive? We will talk about that also from mother's writing. So what is this great flood? Now Vedas speak about the two oceans. So one is Aprakritim Salilam, the lower inconscient ocean. And the second is the upper ocean. So the story says very interestingly, why does the ocean swell? This is something so amazing. Ocean doesn't swell by itself. There is constant rain and the ocean swells. It is as if that higher ocean has initiated the process of flooding. It's not just happening randomly. There is a divine working, and this divine working is actually making the inconscient, and humanity has to now get into this kind of a choice or a selection. If we look at ourselves, there are two kinds of, basically we'll see that there are two kinds of elements in us. One is that which is belonging to the inconscient. And of that, body is the most, not sacred, but the most important. Body is largely a product of the inconscient. That's why conquest over body and the physical death is the penultimate. And that's why they say that the body, there are 9 pores through which death can enter or exit freely. But only one through which the divine consciousness can. Of course, there is another also in the heart, cavern of the heart. But nevertheless, this body is the being brought out of the inconscient as an action of grace. So this body is the is the inconscient pull is very strongly upon the body. And on the other hand, there is a higher ocean, that is the divine grace. So there are those who are completely sticking only to the deyatmabodh, the asuric tendencies. That's what the Gita says also. The Gita speaks in a different way, in a very summary way. That, you know, how does, what happens, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata, abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatman srijameham, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam, dharma sansthapnathaya sambhavami yoge yoge. How does he do vinash? He doesn't have to always come and destroy outwardly. The inconscient swallows. You are swallowed, and that would need a different talk itself, and we have covered that. What are the signs that humanity in many parts is being actually swallowed? science, real science, which is happening. Not just abnormal manifestation, that's one part of it. People are free to do whatever they want to do. This is the dharma of the age. Because you have to choose in freedom. You can't, just follow a rule just because you have been given freedom so that you choose this way or that way. And then there comes a time when suddenly there is a swell, deluge, and whatever belongs to the inconscient has remained unchanged, refuses to change. That's how the mother puts it, will collapse. In fact, she says there is a lot of humanity which is perverse, that is going to disintegrate. Then she says there are many human beings who are like animals. So they have a human body, but their life is like animal. And nothing wrong with animal or this thing. This is not being judgmental. It's just being factual. So there is a difference between factual and being judgmental. So animals, by that is meant, animals have very nice tendencies. But basically they live for food, a progeny, and little shelter. That's what roti kapda makan. That's the animal ka nara. If animals had to form a political party, they will say roti kapda or makan. So if the capitalists joined them, they would say Bibi Bacha or Dukan. They would add that. So this is how, this is, and lot of, they are pulled, they are sucked, because for them there is no higher thing. But see how beautifully in India, many of those who realized, they didn't have any roti kapda makan, Shurvindo, even for the next meal. He says, I know God will provide, but he has contracted a bad habit of providing in the last moment. So this is a challenge that life throws. Can you still hold on to faith? So this is how the story goes. So there are beings who are ready. They are saintly beings who have turned toward the divine, who have faith, who have been in their actions, in their thoughts, and they are carried on the boat. That's how the story describes. This time it's a new creation. So the mother speaks about this. And who steers the boat? None else but the Lord himself. Otherwise there will be no hope. And he is shown as a golden fish in the previous incarnation. So there is something about the supramental truth which is very indirectly being indicated. And Vasuki, we know, is the serpent of time. Like Seshnak. So he is the one which is the tied around Shiva. And he also comes in the Sagar Manthan. So The time itself takes this across the waters towards the new creation. So it may sound like, okay, fine, as an interpretation it looks nice, very simple. Once again, the lower ocean, the inconscient, the upper ocean, the superconscient, and a time comes when humanity has reached a tipping point. Nowadays people talk that language, tipping point. Tipping point or breaking point. Tipping point is a modern language. There's a whole book on that. So when the tipping point comes, that's the time, there is a section of humanity which has waited for this hour, which has been living life, which is to the extent they can be beautiful, at least their intent is quite right. But they are unable to because whatever the world conditions are such. And they are picked up by the divine, and then after the back and forth is over, picking up is over, then the ship leaves. And when the ship leaves, then there is chaos follows, mayhem follows, everything else collapses. This idea has caught even the mind of the modern imagination of even filmmakers. What was that movie, 2020 or something, where the space, but they show it as spaceship which comes and takes people away. They also show a big ship on which they are going, because incidentally the story of the great deluge is there. Even it's one of those stories which is equally there in the Bible, but comes from the Jewish tradition of Noah. So Noah's builds an ark, same, there are some differences. So God comes and tells him that, everything will be destroyed. So Noah keeps one sample of each of the creatures. Now in the Bhagavad Puran story, one sample of each creature is not mentioned, but all that is going to be useful. So harvest, etc. So Noah comes and then he builds a boat and then he goes across. There are some variations of the story. Like in some variations of Matsavatar, there is a demon who has to be countered. But essentially the story is there in, again, the Bible. There is a third story. The original story of this is the Epic of Gilgamesh in Sumeria. That legend also points towards it. the earth and the creation getting inundated, pralaya coming, a kind of pralaya. He goes down and he seeks immortality and comes back. Very fascinating story, but we'll not go into all these details. So there have been always this idea that a time comes when, for whatever reason, now reason we know, jab paap badh jata hai. Paap is that when, what is paap? Paap is not based on a scriptural rule. Paap is all that is when you deviate from the inner truth of your own being. The Gita says, swabhava and sudharma. So when you deviate from your own inmost truth, when you just lead life, say even this would be okay, I am following what everybody is doing. That dangerous. The Gita says, swadharmo nidhanam shreya paradharmo bhayavaha. So basically, paap in the sense of the Indian context is your own deepest truth. It is there inside. One has to feel it. It's not the voice of God as a moral conscience, but the divine impulsion which is felt within the heart. And one should follow it. And if one follows it, one is in line. One is flowing with the upward stream of time. That's what is meant in mystic literature, upward stream of time. And if you don't do that, then we are, one day or the other, the collapse is going to come. That means the society itself is going to collapse. Because it's not living according to truth. It is living according to a collectively agreed falsehood, canonized. So, okay, this is the story. We can go on this wonderful story, but I'll read an experience of the mother, which is very fascinating. So this is about the story of Matsavtar. So how is it connecting with now today's time? Many people say, okay, fine, far back times. But these are not stories only about far back times. They are typal stories. They are stories which have remained in the collective psyche of humanity because they show a way toward the future. Say whenever there is a time when there is a all around destruction going on. Now we see all that, no? People are glued. What is happening in Iran? What is happening in America? What is happening in Russia, Ukraine? Yes, but also there is a boat. I had a very clear, I can share it today, in late 90s or mid 90s, a very clear, elaborate vision of volcanic destruction, and there are beings living in the three layers of the volcano. Some of them were sadhus, and I'm telling them this is going to burst, come out. And they don't, we are very happy. Some sampradayas, mat, etc. So I come out holding a few, and then the whole thing erupts, and then, of course, there is a fireball which comes, and on that a rose falls, and then I hear the voice. This is the mud of the new creation, and the rose is, of course, we know it is love for the divine and surrender. So the beauty of that was, now this is one part, but I was keenly watching what's happening. So I'm seeing that there is on to the right side, while all this is happening inside the world, that volcano is the world in which things are happening. So on to the right side, there are some people sitting comfortably as if in some kind of antariksh, protected, safe. I said, who are these beings? I am immediately, I get this. This is the ashram. I said, this is too much. Absolutely, with clarity. Now, of course, ashram we know now is not just a physical space. So there are beings who are being protected, but their business is not to get involved with the pralaya going on. It will happen. Much worse will happen. It's part of the story. Because people often ask, where is new creation? I say, because you are looking at the old creation, so you see the destruction. And you want the new creation to be like the old creation. Children should get up in the morning, touch your feet, and listen to Papa, even if he is like Vajrasravas. Sorry. These children are carrying the Nachiketa fire. That's how it is called, no? Nachiketa Agni. They want truth, nothing else. They don't like hypocrisy, they don't like all that. So all these are signs, if we look in that direction. But if we look in another direction, lot of destruction is happening. And unfortunately, we may get caught into it, misunderstand. So at that point of time, we must just follow the divine intent in creation. And as Sri Aurobindo has said, this time the intent is toward the new creation and no more pralayas. Very clearly this has been told. Okay, that's another fascinating subject, but an experience of the mother which so beautifully explains this whole thing. She is describing an experience on July 23rd, 1960. So 4 years after the supramental manifestation. And she speaks of, you will see that it's the same story of Pralaya, the ship, and in its own beautiful way, but of course, it is she is involved in it. It's like if Lord Vishnu had to write the story and not one of the rishis. So she's describing this event. Something interesting happened last night, exactly between 10 and 11. She's absolutely in crystal clear details. I was in some kind of vehicle. I didn't see the vehicle, but I was in it. Someone in front of me was driving, though I could only see his back. Look at the rescue being taken. She has taken the avatar. She has to carry all these beings. I didn't bother about who it was. He was simply the one meant to do it. It was as if the doors of destruction had been flung open. Floods. Floods as vast as an ocean. Again, this flood word anyways is used in many ways. Flood is not just about water literally coming and rising to the top. We say we are flooded with people, we are flooded with nonsense. Flood is about all that is, it just submerging everything, good, bad, everything. And Shobindu spoke of it long back, Kali Vrajam. In Kali Yuga, even the good goes away. Only that which is divine intents, let's put it like that, is saved. And why the divine intents? Those who have dharma in the heart. So, outward good, outward bad. Floods as vast as an ocean were rushing down onto the earth. See, rushing down, pouring and rushing down. We also have the mother's supramental manifestation experience where she saw on 29th February 56 that waves from the inconscient will rising up and swallowing the supramental. So all this connects. It's a sequence. A formidable current pouring down at an insane speed. If you read these portions, look like Matsavatar story literally. With an unstoppable power. Don't wait for actual rain pouring down. But there are things happening today which with an unstoppable power, which are completely inundating humanity. It was brackish water, not transparent, but brackish. And it was imperative to reach a certain spot before the water. She's in the vehicle, she has to reach a certain spot before the water completely drowns everything. Had the water reached there ahead of me, nothing could have been done. So it is, she is taking the seeds of the new creation. That's how she describes incidentally. Since we are at it, how precise it can be. So in 1959, this is a year, roughly a year or maybe less than that, before this experience. The mother in one of the New Year messages, 1959 New Year message, what does she write? She goes into the very bottom of the inconscient. See, Epic of Gilgamesh, if you read, you will see that some similarities. At the very bottom of the inconscient, I was suddenly struck upon with a spring which cast me up with the seeds of the new creation. She is bringing. Now, what are these seeds? All that is ready in some way. That she picks up and comes. And she says, Almighty spring, very high. It's like joining the supermind below with the supramental above. And what those seeds are, we can take it that all of us little seeds. Very nice. Whereas if I got there first, I say I, but it was not I with this body. If I got to the other side before the water, I would be completely safe. And from this safe position, I would have a chance to help those left behind. Read through the agenda, absolutely. So this is that's why you see again a parallel in Matsavatar. What is the parallel? First, Lord Vishnu comes as that little fish who is very insecure in a world which is very insecure. It's saying, don't put me there, because I'll be eaten up, swallowed up. And mother says the first thing that the new creation, which is born like a child, will need is protection. Because the average humanity will not understand, it will even be hostile towards it. She has spoken of this. And she said that is the first thought she had, was that how to build protection around the new creation, babies of new creation, because they are at risk, real risk, because the old creation does not want. So many parallels. So, but he goes away the first time the fish appears. And then the golden fish comes. You see, it is like there is a period of preparation. Exactly. Mother comes, gives instruction, do this, boat, make the boat. That means all of us now involved in that work, apparently. And then when the time comes for the final reckoning, she comes in the, what she has herself said, the Shobindo in the first supramental body. And the people who have seen them, and she has spoken about it, waiting when humanity is finally ready. Exactly the same story. See, Lord Vishnu, when he comes first time, he doesn't say, come, 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 I'll take you guys. No. He says, build the boat. Wait. This wait word is so powerful. Wait with what? You don't know what's going to happen. Everybody is saying you are an idiot. So wait implies with faith. And then slowly, after 7 days, he appears as the golden fish. And then time begins to be towed. Time is towing the boat toward the direction where he is taking, and all the rest is being destroyed. Absolutely clear symbol if you look at it from this point of view. So the Divine Mother comes, Mother and Shurvindo. What has she written? Shurvindo will come back in the first supramental body formed in the supramental way. People have had, clear-cut darshan of the Mother's and Shurvindo's supramental body. There is also Nalini Das, famous. So they are there. What are they doing? They are preparing. Now mankind is given a job description. All the boat is ready, but you have to take care and you have to do. I mean, we should also feel something, doing something. So we are busy wherever we are to prepare the boat, like King Satyavrat. And the Satyavrat name gives a clue. Steadfast to truth. Vrat. Vrat is literally an ascesis. Doesn't matter what's going to happen in the world. You stay with the truth that you have held in your heart. So live with that. So King Satyavrat coming as the new creation ka head. He becomes the head. So all this is, the moment you read Mother and Shurvindo, it appears so clear. So she says, then because, and she says that her transformation before she can help others. And this vehicle was going faster than the flood. I saw and felt it by its motion. In fact, if I may say, the greater the challenges are coming outside, people who are growing in the sadhana, they are taking leaps. Simply because the intensity is increasing here. And a kind of humanity turning suddenly. Nobody is going and telling anyone. And yet, you know, suddenly people awaken, they turn. A formidable flood. But the vehicle was going still faster. It was so wonderful. In places, see, she has said that vehicle could not be seen. Huh? So I have taken my own thing. Ashram is the vehicle. All the centers are vehicles. Wherever people in their house are dedicated is vehicle. It is unseen. That's how it is described. In places, there were some especially difficult and dangerous spots. They will come. Raste mein aayenge. Doesn't matter. Stay steadfast to truth. What did she say? Satyavrat. She is given a message. Men, countries, continents, the choice is imperative. Truth or the abyss. In many of the story, just the name gives way. And then she also, one of the messages, if you go up Sri Aurobindo stairs, so there is one message, cling to truth. And when you come out of mother's room, or you are going into mother's room, what is the message? You want to change. The divine is changing, is taking care of it. So it's again to remind us, it's a message that we must be full of faith. This world is not left in the hands of any of us. And Shobindo's message, mother's message, we are living precisely at a moment when things are not left in our hands. So is there something in our hands? Yes. Faith, cling to truth, truth within, and participate little bit in the formation of the Noah's Ark or the Satyavrat boat.
You want to correct what the Creator is
doing. You want to correct what the Creator is doing? Do you want to correct what the Creator is doing? Absolutely. Because we don't understand. When people often say, "Arey, where is the new creation? Arey, bhai. Abhi toh you are old creation mein ghazita maar rahe ho." Matlab, you are living the old creation full throttle on. And suddenly because you have read about new creation, I mean, there are people, we are very fortunate to be, you know, who suddenly want to see new creation. Okay, you wait. When somebody says like that, I said, okay, you wait, your destiny. But there are those who are moving and moving at jet speed. So that's where the whole difference comes. But everybody is free. You want to wait, you want to be swallowed. I mean, that's a destiny which divine has chosen. So there are difficult and dangerous spots, personally as well as collectively. But I always got there before the water. And see, this we can see from 57 onwards, if you follow the events. 57 was a time when Third World War was imminent. It was literally push button. What was that? Cuban Missile Crisis. That's how it is called. You read about it, it was push button away. Then, quite a number, including now, it became a joke. People were predicting all kinds of things. Now it became a joke. Okay, we'll shake hands. Nothing. Something comes, intervenes, and things change. It happens at the last moment, literally like the vehicle, even in personal life. Often people write this difficulty as just hold on. Hold on and hold out, because mother has said victory comes to the most persevering. A time will come and suddenly there will be a flip over. And you say, huh? What happened? Everything changed within and outside. So this is the thing we have to remember. Because she is always ahead. Just before the water barred the way. And this, the dangers are going to be there. It's not like we... So how can we put ourselves on the side of the divine? As the mother said, no human will can finally prevail against the divine will. Put yourself deliberately on the side of the divine and the victory is certain. One simple way is never to have despondency, never to believe that this creation is going to fail. Never under any circumstance. One should always look forward, because it's the divine who is carrying. That is meant by faith. Faith is not that I believe in Mother and Shurbindo, but what is this happening in the world? That's not faith. Faith is karke thaiya thaiya. Teri talwar ke niche mein nachiya. Even I am, you know, below your sword, every bit of my blood is saying, Lord, thou art wonderful. This is faith. Because this is what she has promised. And this is how things are happening in those. We kept going and going and going. Then with a final effort, then she says there was no effort really, it was willed. So it is the will which is most important. And if will is taken away by the dark forces, this is the final. Will and faith are two things. Even if everything is taken away, destroyed, gone, will and faith are enough to rebuild. And if will has also gone, faith. That's how mother describes. So faith is so precious. She says, resist all temptation to lose it. With a final push, we made it to the other side. And the water came rushing just behind. This is not where it stops. It goes further. It rushed down at a fantastic speed. So now it derives to a point. Then there is a parting of ways. There are things which are lifted up toward the new creation, and all the rest which was being carried crushes. We had made it. Then just on the other side it changed color. So earlier it was brackish. It changed in color to a predominant blue. This powerful blue, which is the force the organizing force in the most material world. So there will be utter chaos, disorganization in every possible way. But subsequently a new divine organization will begin. So there will be a state of anarchy, all kinds of things. So there we were, and the vehicle stopped. And then, after having been looking straight ahead the whole time, we were speeding along. I turned around and said, "Ah, now I can start helping those who are behind." 1960 onwards. This was done in 60. And then, because she's describing that experience, that she turns back and says, "Now I can help." This was important. That's why you see that before 1956, Shobhindra and the mother did not take many disciples. There was no, they did not encourage any centers, nowhere. Because first they had to do this fundamental thing. And so much so that someone had prepared for Shobhindra. They had collected a lot of money, lot of pounds in UK. And then he said, "I want to send all this to you to give to a crown on your 75th birthday." And Sri Aurobindo says, "Let the kingdom come, the crown can wait." Let the kingdom come. Now you see how after 56, 60, there is literally more and more people. And then she draws a sketch. I can't present it here. She draws literally a sketch of the whole thing. Images, first image, second image. The water was flowing off toward the right. From time to time, there were these fissured dips or depressions along the vehicle's path where the water rushed through. And in fact, it must have rushed through each one just as soon as I had sped past. It was most dangerous, for if you had reached there a second too late, the water would already have flooded in and you would no longer have been able to get across. In fact, I'm talking about the ship, the great vehicle. In spiritual literature, the divine name is regarded as a ship. Shobhindra speaks of the ship as Brahma Vidya. Divine Shakti moves it. But divine name has been regarded as a ship. And the mother speaks of the mantra as the mother's name and Shobhindra. Shobhindra speaks of that. When Satprem asked, "Mother, I want to help you," she said, no, you, nobody can help." When somebody asked Shobhindra, "I want to help in your mission," he said, "Don't worry, nobody can help. We have to do it. You figure out, just sit. Just come, sit in the boat which is waiting for you." It was such that with even only a few drops, you would no longer get across. Not that they were very wide, but, and the water was pouring in. Our words are very small, see, the pralaya. It was pouring in and I could see it ahead. But then the vehicle would arrive at full speed, and instead of stopping in a wild roller coaster, which will be there, enjoy the roller coaster, whether you like it or not, roller coaster like movement, it would plunge through. It'll come. In every sadhak's life, roller coaster comes. It's up to you. You can cry, feel horrified, or you can enjoy. But you have signed up for it. When I entered one of those water park, I said, "Okay, I'll also try roller coaster." So I went on top very happy. After the moment it started, I realized, what did I sign up for? Now, you have no choice. Okay, that's the best part. You have no choice. So I said, "Ma, Jai Ma." So we are in that state, okay? Roller coaster. Vroom, just in time, exactly like a roller coaster. Some people give up, some people run out. That don't do. That dangerous. I always arrived just in time to get through. And then again the same thing, broken here and there. In this way there were many fissures, though I have only drawn two. There were quite a few, five or six at least, in the diagram she has drawn. And again we would dart across, then race on until we would reach the spot where I have drawn the water turning, where it finally gives way. Right at the end, there was a place where the water had to turn to run down. This was the great passage. Now there is a whole book, little writing, Satprem writes, the great passage. So it point comes when there is the decisive action. No more that undulating where you are this side or that side definitively. I mean, you know it. Of course, with faith and on the ship of her name you are going. But there comes a time when you now know. If you got caught in that, it was all over. That was the great passage. You had to reach this spot and cross over before the water came. And Mother speaks of this great passage also in volume 2. Incidentally, she's talking of vehicle. Okay, so people think, ne, boat, I mean, so foolishly, you know, they are trying to trace which boat, what boat. If you read even Buddhist text, you will understand. What is it called? Mahayana. Hinayana. If you translate in English, it is great vehicle and small vehicle. Nanak nama jahaj hai. It's so evident. And people were looking, where is the proof of that material boat? You will not find, go deeper. It was the only place you could get across. Then a last plunge and like an arrow shot from a bow, full speed ahead, I crossed over and there I was. And once on the other side, without even a rise in ground level, it was immediately safe. And the current went on and on. A lot of destruction will continue. Waves upon waves, on and on, as far as the eye could see, but it was canalized here at the great turning. And as soon as it went past this point, the inundation was total. It spread out over something over the earth. So there is going to be, Mother has spoken about a near catastrophe. All this is the prelude. But there are those who will be saved, who are safe. Pralaya. And the current turned. It turned, but it was already on the other side, and down below everything was finished. The water rushed down everywhere. Only as soon as I was on the other side, it could not touch me. The water could not get across. So why she is reminding again and again that if you get attached to what is being destroyed, you are just opening doors to your being pulled down. We have to make a choice. Old creation, new creation, as simple as that. Because much is going to collapse. It seems everything had been prepared and the way had been made. There, down below me, the vehicle, I had the impression it was the earth. It really was the earth and the water was rushing down towards it. Okay, so she speaks of the vehicle's path exactly like it is described. The three worlds we just spoke about, this little detail in the great flood, that the three worlds are taken up. See what Mother is speaking. The vehicle's path was not on earth, but up above. A special path for this vehicle. She speaks of interstellar. And then finally, she again and again describes fall and torrent. My path passed between the torrents of water and the earth below, and I saw the water before me, everywhere, in front and behind. It was so extraordinary. It was everywhere you see except along my path. Water speeding everywhere, but there was a kind of conscious will in this onrush, and I had reached the great passage before this conscious will. She says this water resembles something like physical, but it is consciousness she's speaking about. And I just want to, it's very beautiful, but I just want to. And she speaks about a square, blue, the whole thing, it reaches in that perfection. And I'll come finally. It's a beautiful description, we all can read it actually. Powerful deluge. Everything was stopped. Nothing could touch. I turned around and saw all this water rushing down. And then she said, now let's see if we can do something here. And then she starts pulling everyone. And we know that after that, the movement spread. But what I want to read is another little passage, just 2 minutes. It's very big, very beautiful, described in great detail. She says, all this is a translation in human language actually, because really it was and it happened at a particular time. And okay. Now, this last bit which connects with this experience. Okay. She speaks about the two levels of consciousness which have to be adjusted. One is the truth consciousness which is operating, and the second is the old consciousness which is as it is. Then she describes the action of the supramental consciousness. So it should be very clear, because this is for us the higher water carrying us. Its action, referring to the supramental action, will be somewhat similar to what is described in the last judgment, which is an entirely symbolic expression of something that makes us discern between what belongs to the world of falsehood, which is destined to disappear. Nothing like may disappear, probably, people are papi, they will be punished, nothing. Verdict, destined to disappear. And what belongs to this same world of ignorance and inertia, but is transformable. One will go to one side and the other to the other side. All that is transformable will be permeated more and more with this new substance. And this new consciousness to such an extent that it will rise towards it and serve as a link between the two. But all that belongs incorrigibly to falsehood and ignorance will disappear. This was also prophesied in the Gita among what we call the hostile or anti-divine forces. Those capable of being transformed will be uplifted and go off toward the new consciousness, whereas all that is irrevocably in darkness or belongs to an evil will shall be destroyed and vanish from the universe. And a whole part of humanity that has responded to these forces zealously will certainly vanish with them. And this is what was expressed in this concept. So we are going through interesting times. It's a prophecy. It's a past story happening right now. If you are looking for a physical ship, we won't see it. But the ship or the vehicle is the mother's name. And what will steer us into it is faith. Faith regardless of anything and everything. Our eyes should be fixed toward the new creation. A lot will be destroyed, much more than what we have seen right now. It's part of the process. It's bound to sink. Whatever is ready for the new creation will be taken up. And whatever is destined to go down, will go down. Jai Ma.